Okay, gentlemen, we spoke about the creations and the way it becomes mukta. It does not become mukta. I'm looking into further details. There's one vegetable which I did not mention yesterday, and I want to mention it because it's important. It's important. It's an very important mishnebura. The mishnebura in the earlier, it's in Sif Cotton. In Sif Cotton. It's a really important Mishnebu, Sifkot Yud Aleph. The end of Sifkot Yud Aleph, Mishnebu tells Ziv Beis, which we did yesterday. Mishnebu brings over here the Shlo, which I want to mention. Gam HaShlo Kosav Doroi Liyapo Yis Asuka Bekromim Vesdinim Velitlo Yis Baperis Chshuvin. Mishnebu says that it is in the name of the Shlo, Roi, it is appropriate, it is right, Liyapo Yis Asuka, to beautify the Asuka, Bekromim Vesdinim Vesheets, Litlois by Imperis Cheshuvim, and to hang up very beautiful and very precious and valuable items such as fruits, which nowadays we'll just call decorations. So there is an Indian, the Shlach Kodesh says explicitly, Mishnah brings this down over here, there's an Indian to decorate the Sukkah. I recall that I saw a picture of my great grandfather in the Sukkah, and it's a very interesting picture. My great grandfather was alive in Hungary before the war, from 1914 till 1939, and there's a picture of him in the sukkah, and you can see loads of sforim, and you have it's a very rare picture, because, in those days there wasn't so many pictures, and you can see in the back there's something very fancy hanging, really fancy, and it looks pretty much like, it looks very similar to a sheet, but more thick, and more, more substantial than that. So, so I asked once my mother, and I said, sure, this is a carpet. It's a carpet. I said, a carpet, hanging carpet? I said, yeah, sure. I said, you used to hang up the carpets. You used to have these Persian carpets, and you used to hang up in the sukkah the carpets. Now, why would you hang up in the sukkah the carpet? Why would you hang up the carpet in the sukkah?
To keep warm.
Because that was, of course, it was very hard to heat up to keep the sukkah warm. This is, Hungary, which is cold in sukkah's time already. And you'd hang up, there was a very good insulation material, heavy Persian carpets. To hang up these very fancy carpets, which was decoration on the one hand. Yeah, so I don't know if it was mamish all the way around. The picture I have, it's pretty much facing, and yes, all the direction it is pretty much covered. So it used to hang up there, and that was a... and of course, part of this, what the Mishnah brings the name of the Shlo, that there is an Indian to decorate the sukkah, so he's going to make a little shul that looks very, very beautiful. There's another aspect as well, which the Moshe Feinstein quotes, the Teshuvah came to do, just like in your own house, you'd hang up paintings, pictures, what else do you hang up? Yeah, you hang up, try to make the place as nice as possible. Similarly also, in the sukkah, you're going to try to hang up things, despite the fact that it's only for a week or so, but nevertheless, you're trying to hang up things for the... So that's the halachas of decorations. Decorations is a very... Mishnah says, it's roi, it's a proper thing to do. However, what we learned yesterday is that these things become muktzim. Mishnah in the bottom of here, I want to mention that, because I didn't mention it yesterday. It says, muktzimim, gehainu bem kshetluin ala koisle bem kshenofel. The halacha says, whether when it's hanging, or whether it's falling down, it is muktzah. And that is the halach rabbi side, that the decoration which is fallen down is mukta. You cannot. The default position of decoration is you cannot move it. Chalamoid. I'm not talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is anyway mukta, but in chalamoid you'll not be able to move around the decoration which has fallen down. Unless you do a trick, which is what we mentioned yesterday as well. I'm going to look into greater detail now. But the default position that is mukta. So, says the Ramo, and that's what we're going to see now. The Ramo over here, I'm going to start from the words of the Ramo, which is page 204. The Ramo, this is the condition that you can recite before the first Ben Hashmoshes. As we learned yesterday in the name of the Maril, there are Achronim that you cannot make the Tznai nowadays. It's not, you're going to get it wrong, and it's not worth making a Tznai. That is the meaning generally, but the Noin which you hang up on the sides, like the colored sheets, there are items, says the Rambam, that we do tend to move around. For rain, without the tznai, because Mikol mokim toiv lehatnis aleim. Says the Ramah as follows.
There is a concept of a tnai. And the tnai means that you hang it up with the condition that it doesn't, the kedusha is not chal on it. We learned yesterday, it's not great to rely on it. But there is such a concept. We've got to know there is such a concept. So you can hang up. If I've got this portrait of Reb Chaim Kanievsky with Rav Eliashiv, with the Ban Leib, which by the way, very nice, a very nice decoration, which I can have. And you want to hang it up, or other gedolim, or perhaps you want to, you have a decoration from you, which your kids made, you know, you want to hang it up. So the halach, the deal, yes, it is muktzah, and you cannot move it around. However, if before I hang it up, I make it tnai, and I say, the kedusha of the sukkah is not chal on this item, and you say the words, eini boidel mehem, I'm not separating, I'm setting it aside, eini boidel mehem kol ben hashmoshes, and then the kedusha of the, is not chal on it, then it doesn't become a muktzah. Therefore, if it falls down, I can't move it. Not only that, but the Ramah is teaching us over here that if you have something which, I'm reading the words of the Ramah again, the ein is to mitfanos. I will be noin shenois the mitfanos, but the noi, the creation which you hang up on the sides, kegoin, sadinim amtsirim, like the colored sheets, which are very nice, probably the equivalent of my grandfather's carpets. Noagin letaltalom, you can move those, mipneak showing because of the rain, afilu beloi tznai, even without a condition. Why? Why? Because if you're hanging something up with intention to move it around, with intention that perhaps you're gonna, if it's going to rain, I'm going to take it and I don't want it to get damaged, the kedusha is not chal. Here it is, Abu Yisrael. Mishnah says the words in Sifkot and Chav Dalet, Anan tzadish lo itlon l'shem isho v'tchilim l'yosin shom tomit. If you have an intention of not having it permanently there, just temporary, then the kedusha is not chal. Right, Rabbi Yisrael, what are your thoughts on this? So the deep, if you, yeah, so I think that, no.
To protect it.
Yeah, so I think that if you're not going to make that tnai, then I think the assumption is that it's going to become muktzah.
And there's no heter to move it down without sand.
You can probably push it away in order not to, you can probably push it away with your leg. You can probably do that on chalamot to push it away. They shouldn't, you know, that, perhaps, yeah. Yeah, but no, you can't take it out, take it and put, hang it up again, etc. Yeah.
So I'm a bit confused. I know yesterday that the Mishra said that.
Yeah, correct. So very good. Yeah, it's true. It is true. So the Mishnah did say yesterday that the menik is not to make the tznai. That's what the Mishnah said. The Ramah today that we're seeing, he says that there are items which are so. He seems to be. Yeah, I suppose the Mishnah Berurah here is on the words of the Ramah. We've got a. He seems to be. You're right, it's a good deal that you're saying, because the Mishnah Berurah here seems to be saying that it is okay to make the tznai. He seems to be going with the general approach that you can make the tznai. It's true. What we said yesterday is what the Mishnah Berurah said earlier. The Mishnah Berurah in Chav Dalet seems to be saying that the Achronim are lenient, that you can rely on the tznai if you wish to do so. It's true. Very well noticed, yeah. Yeah, so if you hang up a picture of Gdolim,
you'd have to make it
tonight. Unless it's something which is so frequently moved and moved around. I have an example. I have, for instance, an Ushpizin. I have an Ushpizin, which you turn around every day. The Ushpizin today is, you know, every day you turn around the Ushpizin. So that's something which the whole intention is you hang it up with intention that you're going to move it. You're going to move the, you know, the circle, you're going to move it around the creation which is there to be touched, to be moved, to be. So that is something which clearly has an ansad, is hanged up with the understanding that it's going to be moved around, and the kedusha is not going to be chal on that. So that would be an example. But otherwise, if I just have a picture of Eliashiv and I hang it up, the intention is going to be that the entire Yom Tov it will be muktzah. Even if it falls down, it will be muktzah, as the Mishnah Berurah says. On the walls, yes. On the walls, he's more makel. Yeah. Why is he more makel? He's more makel on the sides because he says that noyagin etaltonim nakshomim afilu bloit. Now those are often removed because of the rain. Now nowadays that's not necessarily true. He's referring to decorations that whenever it rains you take them in. Are there such decorations anymore today? Are the decorations that you take in to the house because it's raining?
For the carpets, the stink, they all
But nowadays, either we have our sukkahs covered, or we don't care if they get wet. But we don't normally tend to take decorations in. I don't know about my great-grandfather's carpet. I don't know. I'm sure he couldn't get wet. I don't think the Persian carpets are great to get wet. So either, no, they can't get wet. No, they have, they can't get wet. I don't think so. So either he took them in, or they had some sort of cover on the sukkah. I don't know. But either way, the chances are that there are certain items which they knew that you can't get wet when it rains. You would put back into the house when it rained. Probably quite a ticha. It's probably quite a business. And they did that, and therefore, if that's the normal, that was the common thing they did, sure, it doesn't become mukta. But otherwise, if you just hang it up permanently, it's gonna be mukta. The Mishnah now continues, it goes into a side point, which are so essential and so important, not just for sukkahs, but for the entire year round. Rabbi said, this is a fascinating Mishnah over here. I'm in Sifkot Chav Dalet, but in the second column, it's a long Mishnah. I'm going to the second part of this Mishnah. It's the 5th line of the second column. Also, lachkoik posuk besukos teshvu aledas aldlas v'chiyot zibolitlos besuka. The yovel de bizoin says the Mishnah Berurah, you are not allowed to write down the words besukos teshvu on a vegetable, on a glass, because you're going to end up with bizoin. Besukos teshvu, there was a minhag, it seems, that they would write down besukos teshvu, the word besukos teshvu, on some sort of vegetable, and that would be hanged up in the sukkah. So it's going to be bizoin. You're going to be very disrespectful at the end with that. It's a pasuk, two words in a pasuk. You're going to be treating it with disrespect ultimately. The gam also shall also lift the pasuk in the, you cannot write just a few words. That's fascinating. You cannot, the Mishnah says, you cannot write a few psukim from the Torah, Elim Ken Yeshbaim Sefer Sholem, unless you have completed an entire paragraph. K'moshi is Babi Yeridah. That's halacha, unknown halacha in Yeridah. You cannot just write a few words from a posuk. Yes? That's what it says. You cannot just write a few words without having an entire paragraph, or at least an entire posuk. Ve'afa gavdun agin heta. Sometimes we are lenient. The Islamic boy in Dafka, that's when you're learning something. When it's for the study of Torah, then yeah, write down a few words because you're trying to interpret, to learn, to understand them. But Avashalot Yitzurich, when there's no purpose, no constructive purpose, but Sukkah is teshvu, you're just hanging this up, there's no heter. There you go. Because it's going to be, so there's two problems with this vegetable, this gourgette, that you write in Sukkah is teshvu. Problem number one, you're going to end up being just treading on it. You're going to end up, it's going to end up in the bin. Problem number one. Point number two, it's not a good idea anyway, because you're not supposed to write the Sukkos Teshvu without having the entire Pasuk. Okay, I think that, what are your thoughts on that? This has loads of implications. Let's think about the implications, non-Sukkos implications. Where do we find this? Yeah, so ideally, we are lenient with an entire pasuk. An entire pasuk is fine as well. Safe in this context means a paragraph, but the ma'aseh we are lenient even for, beyond that, and we even a pasuk itself. Yeah, yeah, precisely. About to say we're very familiar, but never mind in sukkahs itself. On sukkahs we do, you know, boch atu b'vayecha, which sukkah doesn't have that boch atu b'vayecha. Yeah. So we are very, very, which is something which is very chas invitations, siman tov and mazel tov, in v'agefen, in v'agefen, is a psukim that we have everywhere, constantly. And what the Mishnah says over here, there's two potential problems. The one is disrespect. So this, in terms of disrespect, you don't have to worry so much. Although the chas invitation is a good one. Chas invitations is something which is going to end up in the bin, and that's why some people refrain from writing psukim on it. Besides that, there's another problem that you cannot write just a few words from a pasuk. You're running into that problem.
Is that only in the
sefer? No. No.
Nope.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. If you're learning, it's one thing. But if you're not learning, it's potentially a problem. As a member or as a part. Yeah, but that's still. I think you could probably be lenient and argue that it's all part of the learning process, and it's helping you to understand something.
Sometimes it's just to make the
notion. Yeah, I hear. I know what you're referring to. Sometimes,
the doctor does that.
Yeah. But you could stretch that. That's all part of the learning, to have it clearer, to have it better understood in a nicer word. But it is something. Now, the flip side of it is that if you're writing a full pasuk, you have a problem that it has to go into Shemus as well. There's Kedusha in it. If it's a full pasuk, it's got Kedusha. And then you have, on the other side, you have a problem, because if you just write one word or two words, it wouldn't require to be put in Shemus necessarily. But if you have a whole pasuk, whatever happens, it requires shame to be put into Kneza. But the Mishnah is very unhappy about this. Halach Lemaisa, there's no question about it, that the minig is to be very, very lenient in this. Which sukkah doesn't have a boch ato b'vecho? Which sukkah doesn't have a sukkah stage for Shiva Yomim? Which sukkah doesn't have voyenecho roiz merecho? And then pictures of Gedolim, which sukkah doesn't have it? The minig is to be very lenient, but it's important to realize and to note that the Mishnah is not happy with it. Mishnah is clearly not happy with it. We've got an instance, I suppose, which we could say that the minhag is a little bit more lenient than what the Mishnah Berurah seems to suggest. No? I think that's probably true to say that. I hear. You want to be melamed tzchus. You're saying that the problem is primarily when it's chokuk as opposed to when it's printed, because printed matter is true. There is a chavas yoyer who says that printed matters don't have such kedusha. Perhaps you could argue that itself a little bit, yeah. I want to finish off this Mishnah with an important addition. Oid kasud avcha achasukas leifsal atzeh. Asuk, you should not step, even after sukas, you should not step on the schach. The tashmisha mitzvahim kmoi tzitzis. You wouldn't step, walk, and tread on tzitzis. You would not step, tread, and walk on an olav. Similarly, you should not step, tread and jump on schach. It's part of the mitzvah. Ha'il el simchav ala mishtabura. Al ken lish limchaz banosh and the zoikin achasukas atzei aschach. Lechutz mok mishrab mingilim sa b'hem. It's if it's wrong to throw the atzei, the woods of the tfanois, as well as the schach. People are going to step on it. Don't put it in a place that people are going to end up treading on it. You've got to be careful. It's your responsibility to ensure that it's not going to be stepped on. Ve'afilu enyene mokim ashpo. Well, good question. So the best way, you're talking about which schach are you talking about?
I've got a massive roll of bamboo that I'm probably going on at some point. I'm thinking like,
you're going to get rid of it. Yeah. So you could put it in a place that indirectly it's going to end up in a bin. It's going to be taken away for the. You can. You cannot physically put it in the bin. But if you put it in a place that it's going to be collected and put in the bin, that's okay. So if, for instance, you don't put it in the. You put it. Yeah. It's true. They won't take it. Yeah. So there is authorities that hold the recycling bin is okay because it's not dech bizoyin. The dech bizoyin. I hear the argument. Dech bizoyin when you go to.
So they make it in toilet paper. That's the problem with shameless. But you can't recycle
shameless. Yeah, I know, but the gardening things, they don't necessarily get. Yeah, the gardening, they say that the gardening is not necessarily a bizarre, it's not disrespectful, because it goes to, where does it go, to the gardening stuff? To end up going, I don't know. It's not ashpo, it's not bidech bizoyin so much. So someone argue that if you put it in the green recycling, that's not such a problem. I don't know. I hear the swara, I hear that. It's something to think about. I just want to finish off with a famous story of Pesach Kron, because it's very famous, it's a classic. I just want to mention it because it's that Mishnah here. I can't go through this Mishnah without mentioning that story. It's a classic of Pesach Kron, that the Chassam Sofer was ferrying the boys once a year to accept them to his very famous and prominent yeshiva, Peshbur Yeshiva, was a very prominent, most prestigious yeshiva in Europe, perhaps, arguably. And you'd ferher the Bochim once a year, it was Sukkot time, Bochim would come from all over Hungary to be ferher to get accepted into his yeshiva. Chassam Sofer took very great pride that he would ferher the boys himself. And it was quite a thing to be ferher to Chassam Sofer. You didn't just have to know Masech, you didn't have to know pretty much a big part of Shas. And Bochim came, there was where Yeshiva Gdoile was a bit more, they were like 17, 18, 20. And he would ferher the boys. There was two Bochim that were ferher. It was just after Sukkot. Just after Yom Tov, two Bochim were ferher. One of them excelled, and one of them not so. And they had to return the next day to get the answers, if they got accepted to Peshbur Yeshiva or not. And famously, the one who excelled in the ferher, what happened to him? Guess what? He didn't get accepted. That's right.
And the one who was a bit shvacha, he, surprisingly enough, he got accepted into yeshiva. So the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, asked him, I don't understand. I was present yesterday when you fed the boys. And I saw this one excelled, and this one less so. So I don't understand why this one got accepted, and the other one didn't accept it. The one who excelled, why are you not accepting into yeshiva? He did so well. Ksav Sofer said, I'll tell you why. Of course he did very well by the fair. Of course he did. But I watched them after the fair going out of my study, and I saw, and this was just after Sukkot, so there was lots of schach on the floor. Loads of people, you know, after Yom Tov, people put a schach, and there was a schach on the floor, whether it was the wooden, the bamboos, or the leaves, whatever it was, but everything was on the floor. And I saw the bachur who excelled, he walked right across the schach. He walked home. However, the other one, who didn't do so well in the fair, but I noticed how he made, just as he was reaching the schach, which was on the floor, he bypassed it. He went around not to step and not to tread on the schach.
I think I was learning. He was walking.
Yeah, so he said,
I wasn't learning. So he
said, because he had that attitude and that if you know it all and you might be very good in learning, but you're not treating kedusha items with its relevant attitude and approach, I don't want you to achieve. You've got another one. You've got. And that's something I can't teach you, and I can't give you that sensitivity for kedusha. I can't really give that. I don't want him in yeshiva. However, the other one, may not be excelling in learning so much, but he's got the right attitude, the right approach, and he's not going on. He's not like stepping, walking, treading on kedusha items. Of course, I can help him to learn better, but he's got the right attitude, and the right approach, and that's why I'm accepting into yeshiva. I think a very, very nice story. And having said this, I wish you a very pleasant evening, Avosah.